I'd like to start out tonight by thanking everybody that came out here tonight. Mr. Tim, can you hear me all right back there? Okay. So with keeping our overarching theme this week of becoming a better servant, tonight I chose to go through and look at some examples where the Lord calls particular people my servant. So let's start out here with Caleb in Numbers chapter 14, verses 20 through 24. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So, as I mentioned and went over last night, Caleb was one of the 2 spies that got sent to the promised land that came back with a good attitude and said, we've got God on our side, let's go take the promised land. So because of this, we see that God promises Caleb a spot in the promised land, and him and Joshua were the only 2 of the spies that ever actually got to live in the promised land. And I would like to point out one thing that I had never really thought about until I started going through this, is that all the other spies and everybody that had left Egypt with them saw the same miracles that Joshua and Caleb did, yet they were the only 2 that kept the faith. And you would figure that if you saw the kind of miracles they had seen on the way out of Egypt, getting out of Egypt, and all that, that faith in God would be pretty easy to come by, but it just wasn't for them except for Joshua and Caleb. So let's move on and look at Moses. This is going to come from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which my servant, which Moses my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither thou be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. So we start out by seeing that the Lord is telling Joshua he's going to have to step up and fill in Moses' shoes after his passing. And we also see that Moses is called my servant by the Lord 3 times over these 9 verses. So Moses definitely wasn't a perfect man, but he did do a lot of things right. He spent many years in the wilderness before being called to go to Egypt, and this was used to really shape him into the person he needed to be. So, we see in Moses a good example of faith, meekness, and obedience to God throughout his life. He is also called a friend of God. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So, there's a lot of compliments we can give to each other. A lot of good compliments. But I don't see how there could be much bigger of a compliment than being called a friend of the Lord. Let's look at Job again. Talked a good bit about him last night, but he's a good example of a good servant and maintaining a good attitude and a positive outlook even through the worst situations. So this is going to be Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and this man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and ensueth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Hast thou blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land? But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Upon himself, put not forth thine hand. For Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now I'm willing to go ahead and read the second chapter of Job, verse 3. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and ensueth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest him against me to destroy him without cause. So Job starts out as a very wealthy, very well-off, very blessed man at the beginning of the book. Satan comes along, takes away pretty much everything he has, but still throughout this, Job remains a faithful servant of the Lord and keeps his faith and patience. So, through Job, we see a great example of faith and patience, and also to be careful when choosing your friends. Because as I mentioned last night, he's got friends that show up when he needs a good friend the most, and they don't do anything besides ridiculing and accuse him of wrongdoing, and that this is just sins he's covered up coming back to bite him in the butt. So let's go ahead and look at David. Now, when I was looking, using my search engine for all the times my servant was used in the Bible, from what I saw, David was called my servant by the Lord more than anybody. So that should tell you a lot right there about him. Psalm 89, verses 1 through 4. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever, and built up thy throne to all generations. Selah. Now I'm going to jump down to verses 19 and through 24 now. Then thou speakest in vision to the Holy One, and said, I have laid up upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in the name shall his horn be exalted. So we see in this one psalm, David is called a servant, my servant by the Lord, twice. And one thing that I had never really paid much attention to, or something I'd learned during this, was that David wrote most of the psalms when he was on the run from Saul. So he wrote these beautiful passages of praise for the Lord when he was in a very bad spot in his life, God would use this hard time and hardship to help shape David into the great ruler he would become. So, even though David has his mistakes, he's a great example of faith, obedience, and repentance. And the Lord even goes on to call David a man after mine own heart. Let's look at Acts chapter 13, verses 21 through 23 real quick. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. And Jesus would come from the lineage of David. I think it was around 28 generations that before that would come to pass, but it is of the same lineage. So now we're going to move to the example that surprised me the most to be called a servant of the Lord. And that would be King Nebuchadnezzar. I did not expect this, did not see this coming, and he was called my servant by the Lord several times, which he was used to the first couple occasions by the Lord to help carry out his will. Let's start by looking at Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 8 through 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the tribe, and the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be desolation, and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. So here we see that Nebuchadnezzar is used by the Lord to haul these families of the north, this group of people, into captivity because they refused to listen to the Lord and go by what he had told them they needed to do. So, let's jump down and look at Jeremiah chapter 43, verses 10 through 13. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones that I have hid, and he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt, and shall deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. And I will kindle the fire in the house of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them, and carry them away captives, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt, as a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break into the Beth-Shemesh that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians, and shall burn them with fire. So here again, we see that Nebuchadnezzar is used to carry out God's will and pretty much take over the land of Egypt. We're going to do a little bit more following up on Nebuchadnezzar. And as we see Nebuchadnezzar progress through his life, he actually finds faith in God and figures out that God is in control of all, and he is where he needs to put his faith. So Nebuchadnezzar has this to say about the Lord. This is coming from Daniel chapter 4, verses 34 through 37. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is for generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth nothing according to his will in the army of heaven. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What dost thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, and my honor, and my brightness returned to me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, an excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in his pride he is able to appease. So this was the last mention of Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible, and we could see that even though he started out as a heathen king, had no use for the Lord, he would, throughout his life and the series of events that happened to him, he would find faith in the Lord. And aside from David and the Psalms, there was really no other king that would have such words of beauty regarding the Lord. So this example is not called, it's the example of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Jesus is not called my servant in this, but it's such a great act of servitude, I didn't want to leave it out. So we're going to start with John chapter 13, read verses 1 through 5. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil now having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girt himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel he was girded. So we see Jesus, after this last meal, get up and start washing the disciples' feet as an act of servitude and as an act of humbleness. So let's jump down and look at verses 12 through 17 in the same chapter of John. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Yea, call me Master and Lord, and ye will say, and ye say well, for so am I. If I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. So we see Jesus wash the disciples' feet as an act of humility, and it goes to show them that even though he's in a position of authority, he is no better than they are, that he is their servant. And he also does this to help them realize that when he's gone, they're going to be the ones in charge, and they're to be servants of other people, their fellow Christians. So, as I'm wrapping up here tonight, we see that many of the folks that God called his servants have a lot of faith, obedience, and patience, and all of them went through hardships before they could reach their full potential. We see that David spent many years running from Saul, living in very bad circumstances, and God used this to shape him into the great king he would become. Moses, who was brought up in Pharaoh's household, was forced to live as a shepherd for around 40 years, and God used this to help shape him into the leader he needed to be when it was time for him to come to Egypt and free his people. Then, like I also mentioned Joseph here, we see that Joseph, who was initially sold off into slavery and then falsely imprisoned because of Potiphar, would go on to be used to help bring the children of Israel into Egypt where they could grow and flourish. And then Nebuchadnezzar, who did not inherit a very established kingdom, he had to fight for it. He inherited the kingdom when he was about 25. The kingdom was in shambles. He probably really didn't know what he was doing, just kind of winging it. And he did finally secure the kingdom, but he had to deal with several revolts and many hardships along the way. We see that one good example of this is that he had to besiege Jerusalem 3 different times and then in the end destroy the city and kind of make an example of them before he could get the respect he was looking for. So, and then more on Nebuchadnezzar, a little bit more on Nebuchadnezzar here. We see that in Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar is taught about God's sovereignty. The whole thing with the fiery furnace was no doubt a very humbling experience for him. And then goes on to see that he had some pretty bad mental issues for 7 years, which was meant as a humbling experience for him. So all these hardships, all these things he had to go through were used to shape him, to bring him closer to God and make him a better servant. So that's I know I focused a lot on Nebuchadnezzar, but he started out so far away from God, and the things that he went through brought him closer to God, which is a good example to us that no matter the hardships that we face and what we go through, they're all out to make us a better person. Like the old saying that smooth seas don't make a good sailor. See that there with him a lot. Now I've got a couple more passages I want to hit on real quick. Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and hath and given him a name which was above every name, and that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, and the things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and glory be to the Father. And then Hebrews chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he said unto them, Thou art my Son, today I have begotten thee. As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the ordinance of the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. So we see with all these people that they started out, that throughout their lives they had challenges and obstacles to overcome, as we all do, and that by overcoming them and facing them head on and keeping the faith and a good attitude, that God used these hard times to shape them into a better person, better Christian, who they needed to be, so, and to make them a better servant. So challenges in life, obstacles, hard times, not something to be afraid of. It's something we're all going to encounter. We just need to take it as it comes, and remember, we'll be a better person once we come out the other side of it. Thank y'all.